morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm so pleased to call the meeting of the Metro 2025 Committee to order to take up what is a really important step for the board. As my colleagues know, and many in the community know, for the last 18 months, 2 years, the board has been working assiduously on developing a new strategic plan. And we have reviewed it. We have discussed it. We believe that the items in this plan are the right items for our region to ensure that we continue to hum and have a vibrant economy and are a great place for people to live across the region. So our business today is to approve that. But before we do that, we'll have a brief presentation, and then we'll hear from a number of folks who have already told us that they support the work that we have done. So with that, I'll turn it over to our GM CEO, Rich Sarles.
Thank you, Mary. And today is indeed another major milestone in the story of rebuilding Metro. 2 years ago, after putting in place a number of governance reforms and supporting the launch of Metro Forward campaign, the board began to lay the groundwork for the future of Metro. We would not be at this juncture without the leadership of all our board members. In particular, I want to recognize Chair Tom Downs, who pressed on the importance of having a strategic plan supported by the business plan and a multi-year budget. This summer's business planning process will mark the first time that all related documents will cascade from the strategic plan. And prior to Tom's leadership, I'd like to thank former Chair Kathy Hutchins for guiding us through some of Metro's toughest days by keeping an eye on making sure we were preparing for the future. I also want to recognize former Chair of the Governance Committee, Mike Barnes, who kept focus on ensuring that the board reached a consensus on mission, vision, and goals. And of course, I want to thank Mary Hines for her leadership as Chair of this committee in helping us reach this historic moment, the adoption of the agency's first board-driven strategic plan in 11 years. Management is asking the board to take action to adopt momentum and commit to securing the funding for the Metro 2025 initiatives of this plan. The momentum plan before you was developed within the strategic framework that you adopted in the fall of 2012. Complete with this vision, mission, and four goals, the plan will guide the authority's decisions over the next 12 years. We have listened to our customers, regional stakeholders, and business community. In fact, Metro conducted unprecedented outreach as part of Momentum, reaching over 2 million people in 60 different languages and gathering comments from approximately 12,000 stakeholders through traditional and innovative methods. And examples of that include stakeholder presentations, more than 75 meetings with the Transportation Planning Board, civic groups, transportation agencies, customers, public officials, our access customers, and business groups. We use MindMixer, a little bit more innovation for us, an online crowdsourcing tool. We had over 13,000 visits, and we talked to over 8,500 unique visitors. We surveyed our customers in the business community. Importantly, we used the Washington Post Forum to talk with thought leaders. We used the Big Idea advertising campaign through 17 media outlets, 4 different languages, and circulation of close to 3 million people. We had momentum forums in each jurisdiction, as well as one all in Spanish, and I held employee town hall meetings also. Momentum staff has developed priority actions in support of each of the strategies. The detail of the strategies and key actions are reflected in the plan, and you can review that in your book, starting on page 43. Many of the actions are underway, and some are new ones that we need to begin to address. As an example of one that is underway in support of our strategy of keep safety Metro's first priority, one of our key actions is to remain focused on completing all NTSB recommendations. That is an important priority that this board has set. We all support throughout the management and all the employees, and it's absolutely necessary that we keep that as our first priority. An example of a new action is to develop a regional trip planning system that works for all systems in the region. This initiative would support the strategy to make it easy and intuitive to plan, pay, and ride. I'd also like to note there are strategies and actions that require leadership and cooperative work with the board and the jurisdictions. These are seen as third and fourth goals. For example, in support of the third goal to improve regional mobility and connect communities, the strategies of be the region's transit leader and maximize what we have, call on the board to take action, or for jurisdictions to work together with us. Just as there are many actions underway, we have also started laying the foundation for Metro 2025. The fiscal year 14 capital budget that you approved in April include the initial stages of the Metro 2025 initiatives. Metro 2025 is designed to continue to rebuild and maintain the existing system, and at the same time maximize and squeeze every last bit of capacity from the core system. Metro 2025 will prepare the system to keep up with regional investments, such as those being undertaken by local jurisdictions in the next 10 years, and help the region to maximize the return on these investments. During rush hours, Metro will run the longest possible trains, 8 cars, to provide more seats, which will reduce crowding for our riders. Trains will carry 35,000 more passengers per hour in the rush hour, the equivalent of building 18 new highway lines into D.C. By building more stairs, escalators, and mezzanines, we will improve the customer flow at stations that are already at capacity, such as L'Enfant Plaza, Gallery Place, Metro Center, and Union Stations. New underground pedestrian connections between the Farragut stations or Metro Center and Gallery Place will also enable customers to walk between stations rather than transfer by train. One of the fastest ways that we can address congestion is by expanding the Metro Bus Priority Corridor Network, which will enable buses to move 50% faster, use 12% less fuel, and remove an additional 100,000 trips from roadways each day. In response to our customers, Metro will take the lead on upgrading communication systems in order to provide transit riders in the region with better, more accurate, and audible information in our system and on any device, regardless of the transit system they are traveling on. While it is not something that customers will readily see, we can improve the reliability of their rail trips and recover faster from disruptions by building some key connections within the rail infrastructure, such as pocket tracks. We will work to restore peak hour service for our Blue Line riders from Pentagon City to Roslyn. The cost of Metro 2025 in $2,012 dollars is $1 billion a year to reconstruct and rehabilitate our system. That is something that we always have to pay attention to and will always have to do. In addition to that, $500 million per year to expand the core capacity. This is a projection that will be refined through the budget and business and engineering processes as we go forward. The return on investment, Metro will deliver 500,000 more rush hour bus and rail trips per day. We'll take 135,000 cars off the road, save $130 million a year in time wasted sitting in traffic. Trains will be less crowded, and the region will save $675 million by not needing to build 30,000 parking spaces. Buses will move, as I said before, 50% faster, save passengers 3 to 4 minutes a trip on the bus priority services. Regardless of the regional provider, customers will be able to plan, pay for, and take a transit trip seamlessly and effortlessly with information literally at their fingertips. And importantly, these improvements will improve the economic competitiveness of this region. Together with you, we are working to build awareness and support for the plan from business leaders, advocacy groups, elected officials, and customers. And today we are launching our endorsement campaign. Already we have obtained the support from many across the region, including the leaders that have joined us today, who I'd like to introduce with a few remarks. First is Andrea Harrison. She is the council chair for the She is the council chair in Prince George's County and is also the fifth district council person from Prince George's County. She represents the Prince George's County Council's regional interest as a member of the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. So, Andre.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, Chairman Downs and distinguished members of the Metro Board. I do bring you greetings on behalf of all of the citizens of Prince George's County. And I'm pleased for the opportunity to tell our story in Prince George's County to address the board on the benefits of transit-oriented development to our citizens and share my thoughts on Momentum, which is your strategic plan in this regard. The Prince George's County Council, as a critical component of our economic development strategy, is laser-focused on transit-oriented development, redevelopment, revenue creation, and smart growth as we work to expand growth opportunities and commercial development, especially around the county's 15 metro stations and certain Maryland Transit Agency stations. Just last week, my colleagues and I enacted Council Bill 20-2013, which incentivizes transit-oriented development by amending approval requirements for certain projects and ensuring an expedited process. Passage of this jobs bill makes us much more competitive by shortening the approval process to attract employment and mixed-use development at transit stations in Prince George's County. It offers a clear and unmistakable message that Prince George's County is wide open for business and that we are positioning to be a leading contender for competition of federal tenants such as the FBI and Homeland Security, and a national leader in creating world-class caliber mixed-use development around all of our metro stations. We believe the time for implementing transit-oriented development is now, and the Council is committed to creating and fostering a development that maximizes transit-oriented development opportunities. Momentum, Metro's strategic plan to address continued rebuilding while also providing the necessary capacity expansion on bus and rail systems through 2025 is good news for the region, and it is our anticipation that it will be welcome news for the residents of Prince George's County and consistent with our initiatives. In addition to providing significant economic benefit to Prince George's County, Momentum has the potential to provide direct and positive impact on the quality of life for our citizens. Under this plan, county residents will enjoy a better ride, timely, affordable, and safer transit service, and more user-friendly access across their communities and throughout the metropolitan region as they travel more comfortably to and from work, appointments, and family gatherings. The Prince George's County Council does look forward to Metro's continued partnership as we work to create more walkable places for public health and great urban spaces that enhance our sense of community. Momentum offers an exciting prospect for success as a blueprint for the future of the region's transportation infrastructure. For the residents of Prince George's County, Momentum means we have a great corporate partner in Metro and a solid transportation plan to further guide our economic process as we provide more quality transportation service to our citizens. This plan is aptly named. The sports announcer will say, after the last game in the NBA championship, San Antonio has the momentum. The headlines declare Miami Heat gaining momentum. The coach pumps up his team at halftime saying, you have the momentum. The critical need is that you use that momentum to bury them in the third quarter. In physics, if an object is in motion or on the move, then it has momentum. I want to congratulate the entire Metro Board of Directors on your momentum with this regard to this critical initiative, and thank you for your commitment to our shared priority of transit-oriented development. There remains a long way to go before fully accomplishing this plan, but you've demonstrated what can be done through what can be achieved through dedication, collaboration, and focus, and working together, we are a mass in motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. I'd like to turn to Jim Deniger, who is the president and CEO of the Greater Washington Board of Trade, which represents the major business interests in Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. And I will tell you, thanks to Jim, I've spent a lot of time meeting with a lot of business people talking about momentums.
Thank you, and board members, thank you very much. I do represent the Greater Washington business community, and we've been very fortunate to have a wonderful relationship with Metro as it relates to the governance review in partnership with the Council of Governments. I have to tell you, we couldn't be more proud with what you've done with that report and with those ideas and those concepts, the improvements that you've made and the ability to actually be talking about a strategic plan, a need for capital, and into the future. So congratulations and thank you very much for the partnership. Rich and his team have been remarkable to work with for that outreach because there were a lot of questions and a lot of pieces of uncertainty that people wanted to get their hands around, and not just sending people out, but coming out personally, I think, made all the difference. And so, Rich, to you and your team, really appreciate it, and we tried our best to bring a cross-section of the business community out together to have that discussion. So it brings me here today. Yogi Berra was the catcher for the world champion New York Yankees repeatedly, and he was asked at one point about his favorite restaurant, and his answer was, nobody goes there anymore, it's too crowded. Until I became the president and CEO of the Greater Washington Board of Trade, I didn't know what he meant. And I do know what he meant, and I think you know what he meant. When you rolled out this report, I'll read right from the release, and I've got some comments about it. While Metro is currently through a multi-year capital rebuilding effort to bring the system into a state of good repair, the agency must simultaneously begin planning for expansion to help ensure the long-term competitiveness of the National Capital Region and keep pace with demand from expected population growth. My comments are to briefly discuss this growth in relationship to momentum. London, a little bit over 100 years ago, 6.5 million people. They are currently at 8.5 million people, about a 31% population gain, 100 years. Paris, 100 years ago, 4 million people, currently a little bit over 10 million people, about 155% population growth. New York, 100 years ago, 4.8 million people, 2010 numbers, 20 million plus, 327% growth. Rome, 1900, they were at 422,000 people. They're now at 2,700,000 people, 353%. Here are the numbers from the Metropolitan Washington Council of Government. 1900, we were just a little over 500,000 people for what would be considered the Greater Washington region, and now it's north of 6.2 million people for this region. When you look at what's going on, our growth in that 100-year or so period has been over 2,000%. And it is slowing because of things like sequestration and slowing because we have a better base and bigger base to work from, but it's not really slowing at all. In answer to your question about how do you accommodate this success, this growth of the population, we positioned and brought forward your momentum plan that we certainly weighed in on to our executive committee just earlier this week. And I'm pleased to tell you on June 11th, the executive committee of the Greater Washington Board of Trade officially and formally resolved to strongly support WMATA's momentum plan. And I will tell you, it is not just to say we support it. We commit to helping you get it adopted and to getting the funding to make it happen. Thank you for all of your good work. We stand right behind you, and best wishes.
Thank you, Jim. And next to Jim is Rich Bradley, who I've also spent a lot of time with over the last several months, actually the last couple of years. He's the executive director of the Downtown BID and has been there since its inception in 1997. He's really helped in transforming the urban core of this region. So, Rich?
Rich, well, thank you, and board members. And
Jim, I think you've accounted for almost 500% of that several thousand in the last couple of years. We are at the core of your core. So we talk about the degradation of the core capacity you're talking about earlier. And it's the degradation of the region's core. Well, this is just the core of this
region. Metrobus and Metrorail, but especially Metrorail, are the lifeblood for the downtown, but also the district's economy, especially for its fiscal well-being. Without continuing reinvestment, the expansion of the downtown and D.C.'s resurgence will falter. Let me give you some examples from just the past few years. Over the past 15 years, D.C. added 108,000 jobs. 75,000 were in the downtown. Employment in our BID area, just around the Metro Center, increased from 118,000 to 182,000 during this period. So it is more crowded, by the way. It is, just as you'll know, those who think it isn't crowded, that's where it's coming from. Metro Rail's ridership rose from 68,000 to 105,000 during the same period. So more than 50% of the people who come to work in the BID and in the downtown take Metro Rail. Commercial office properties, which house these workers, have seen their average value per square foot rise from $175 to over $560 a foot. It's a threefold increase. This then translates, in terms of increased property values, cascades into a dramatic increase in commercial property tax revenues for the city, which have grown from 11% of the budget to 22% of the budget. The net fiscal benefit of the downtown to the city, that is, what comes in if you subtract out expenses and the over and above what the taxes get, is a net fiscal benefit of $1 billion a year. That's the Board of Education's budget. The district economy and its fiscal needs depend on continuous growth. Because the city assumes a larger portion of the region's social and economic responsibilities, it requires continuous increases in revenue to support a progressive social agenda which assures quality education, universal health care, and affordable housing for everyone. But Metrorail means more to the city and the region than economics. Downtown is the cultural and entertainment hub not only for the city, but also the region. During the last 15 years, visitors to downtown attractions increased from 3 million a year to over 9 million a year. I decided to wear my cherry blossom tie today because, as some of you know, the highest days of ridership come for Metro during the Cherry Blossom Festival. The festival continues to grow, and it serves the region. Today, we are prepared to be a full partner, as we have in the past. 10 years ago, we worked with you to support, if you, some of you remember, nighttime service. We stopped, used to stop at midnight. The region came together to support that. 5 years ago, we supported Metro Matters. It's led to the commitments we have for the ongoing service. So today, I think we all look forward to working with you in partnership to sustain not only your growth, but our growth and our success in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Next is Elliot Ferguson, who is the President and CEO of Destination DC. Let him speak.
Excellent. Thank you, and good morning to everyone. Elliot Ferguson with Destination DC. Our organization is the Convention and Visitors Bureau for Washington, D.C. We work really closely with Convention and Visitors Bureaus both in Prince George's County and in Virginia to market Washington and the greater Washington area to the world globally. And as we've been talking about the needs of residents of Washington and the area with Metro, and I'm one of those Washingtonians that take Metro on a regular basis, I represent the interests and needs of those individuals in which we bring into the city and perhaps add to the traffic congestion and confusion and the additional people that are on the mall or in Maryland and Virginia as we're marketing the region. Last year, we witnessed a million additional people coming into Washington, D.C., and that's a total of 19 million people coming into the greater Washington area for conventions, for leisure, business, and just to have fun. And one of the things in which we do on a regular basis is try to figure out not only where they'll stay while they're in the region, but what they'll do, and equally as important, how they'll get around. And as we look at all the leading indicators in terms of why people come to the Washington region, best, most fittest city, walkable, lots of theater, all those great accolades in which we receive on a regular basis, it's like being at home. You never remember the good stuff. You always get dinged for the bad stuff. So every time we're out there, folks say to us, well, what about congestion? And how will we get around when we're in Washington, D.C.? And I say, well, what about all the good stuff? So as we're looking at momentum, this is what we're selling in terms of the individuals coming into the region being able to get around, especially to the international market. The international market for us is the fastest growing segment of what we're focusing on, and we focus primarily on that market with the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority. And there are certain things in which the international attendees that are coming into the city expect. And one is a public transportation system that mirrors what exists from where they come. And Metro is meeting the needs to a certain extent, but momentum clearly puts us where we need to be as a destination because that's exactly what the expectation is as they're coming into the region. Parking in Washington, D.C. is, there's no better word to use than a nightmare. If you're going to New York City, you're spending $60 a month just to park a car. You're not spending that right now in Washington, D.C., but we're not far behind as we look at our future because parking is a premium. As you look at our convention center, there's no parking. And the new hotel that's being built next to the convention center will have 600 spaces. So what are we going to do with all the other visitors coming to the city? We rely on Metro. I just returned last night from the International PWA, IPW convention, which is a part of the U.S. Travel Association, which I'm on the board of that organization. And one of the things we did is we worked really successfully to bring IPW to Washington in 2017. And what that means for the region is about $400 million of additional investment, because this is basically a convention for the leisure market. The global community comes to this meeting and looks at the destination and tries to determine whether or not it's a viable destination for business. Not only are they coming to Washington in 2017, but they're going to be ancillary trips to Virginia and in Maryland when they're coming to Washington. So we're selling 2017 Metro's expansion to Dallas, and keeping our fingers crossed, because they're expecting that. No pressure. But and we're marketing Metro as a viable option for individuals coming around the city. Next year, I just met with a huge convention that's looking at having their convention at FedEx Field with over 50,000 attendees in August. We need the business in August, but using hotel rooms in Washington and in the greater Washington area. And what do you think I sold them on? Use FedEx Field, yes, and use our hotels by all means, as well as hotels in the region, but use Metro to get around and get out to FedEx Field. So as we're looking at momentum and the importance of momentum in terms of our business, it's a big deal, and it's important that we continue to focus and strive on those needs of those visitors coming to the city. And as I close, I'd like to focus on a few weeks from now, we'll be hosting 50,000 women for a sorority convention in July in Washington, D.C. 50,000, and that's just the registered attendees. In addition to those 50,000 will be probably another 20,000 people that will be coming to the city, spending money in Maryland and in Virginia and Washington, D.C., and trying to get around. And so as we've been talking to Barbara Richardson and to Richard with Metro and other organizations, this plays a huge role in how they perceive Washington as a destination and with all conventions in which we go after in the future. So we support momentum as an industry because it's a necessity for us to grow and be prepared for the future. So thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Elliot. And I'd like to turn to Lon Anderson, who's the Managing Director of Public and Government Affairs for AAA Mid-Atlantic. AAA Mid-Atlantic basically serves the East Coast, all the way up to New Jersey, where I'm from, with over 3 million members. So, Lon.
Good morning. Chair Hines, members of the committee and the board, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today. At AAA Mid-Atlantic, we work very hard to be conscientious advocates for over 900,000 Washington metropolitan area AAA members. The polling that we do regularly to guide our advocacy indicates very, very straight in a very straightforward way that our members not only want better mobility on their roads, they want transportation options. They want a strong mass transit system. And I think the fact that Metro is the largest supplier of parking spaces in the region with over 60,000 spaces tells you something. A vast number of commuters every day drive and use Metro. So it shouldn't be a surprise that AAA members want a strong and viable, efficient, safe mass transit system. You know that we have a terrible transportation problem in the region. The Texas Transportation Institute has hung that ugly moniker on us of worst congestion in the United States. And that's with your system currently taking about 1.2 million trips off of our roads each day. It's perfectly clear that to make real progress in reducing gridlock, we're going to have every facet of our transportation system working at optimum capacity. Metro has got to rise to the challenge of handling vast increases in passenger loads in the future. We're very pleased also to see that part of the momentum plan to accomplish this is expanding and improving the bus system. Both systems, rails and roads, must work and work well together for us to improve mobility regionally. Now, motorists need to be able to get to metro stations, and once there, they need to have a high-quality ride, good service, and an efficient system ready to carry them throughout our region. Now, on a personal note, I was here at the beginning of Metro. I was a Cub reporter. I covered the Metro groundbreaking. I remember Cletus Barnett, who was a friend, and I remember Spiro Agnew shoving the gold shovel in the ground, leading the contingency to break ground for Metro. That Metro, for many years, fulfilled that promise. It became the model for our nation. It was something of which Washingtonians were extremely proud. And so it's been with some dismay that I've also watched it slide into mediocrity, lacking the money to be properly maintained and operated. AAA has long supported a strong and healthy metro system and has been dismayed at the failure in recent decades to invest adequately in transportation, both regionally and nationally. Metro, as well as our road systems, has certainly suffered the consequences of those funding shortfalls. We think that momentum is the kind of forward-looking plan that is needed to reverse this slide and ensure Metro's health and viability into the future. We don't think this is a choice for our region. We think it's a must. Projections for momentum indicate that it would ultimately provide us with a system that will reduce congestion in the DC core by 10%. That's huge. That's huge. The future of our great metropolitan area is largely dependent on the quality of its transportation system and its ability to move people, goods, and services effectively and efficiently throughout the region. For the sake of all in our region, those of us with cars and those of us without, we all need Metro, and we need it as a thriving, efficient, effective transportation hub for our region. And we all need your board to not only approve this plan, but also to do all within your powers to advance it, to get it funded, and ultimately implemented. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lon. And now a very familiar face with us, to us who we've worked with over the decades here in terms of regional planning, is Ron Kirby, the Director of Transportation Planning for the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. Ron?
Thank you, Rich. I have to mention, Lon's been here for decades also. I'm not the only one. As he just revealed, yes. I wasn't going to tell any stories like that. But thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and participate in this meeting this morning. I want to start by thanking your chairman, Mary Hines, of this Metro 2025 committee and the Metro staff for sharing this strategic planning effort with us, not just this week, but over a period of time, almost 2 years now. We've seen various versions of this. It's been presented to our technical committee. Mr. Siles came to the Transportation Planning Board last December. So we've been a part of this conversation for some time, and we're very pleased to see it come to a culmination with a final document. And just yesterday, Chairman Hines and Sham Kanan briefed the Board of Directors of the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments on the final report, and we noticed a change from, we had a green version, then we had a blue version, and we think this is the final, the blue is the final version that was presented. Everything's gone blue now, the PowerPoint was blue, so that seems like the final color. And subsequent to that presentation, which was, I thought, very substantive, and questions were handled very well, the Board of Directors passed a resolution unanimously supporting the vision, goals, and initiatives of Momentum, and looking forward to integrating these components with the larger regional planning efforts at COG and the Transportation Planning Board. So I bring that resolution to you today. We were able to pass that just yesterday. In addition to the COG Board of Directors resolution, the Transportation Planning Board at COG has a regional transportation priorities plan effort underway we've been working on also for almost 2 years. We are going to be rolling that out over the next couple of months, and I can assure you, as the person behind the pen on this, that we will be focusing on the key components of Metro 2025. That will be among the high priorities in that effort. And I'm sure it will be very complementary to what you've done already. There's been very good linkages between this effort and the planning efforts at COG, and going back to the TPB vision work we did in the late 1990s, more recently the Region Forward and Economy Forward efforts, and coming up this Regional Transportation Priorities Plan. I think there's a lot more synergy and interrelationship between your efforts and ours than perhaps sometimes appears to the outside world, and I think we probably need to change that appearance and make it more visible to people that these are integrated efforts and very much mutually dependent on each other. In addition to promoting more capacity for transit, which we're seeing transit mode share growing in the region, we need to have the capacity to accommodate growth, and in particular to support our initiatives on promoting mixed-use activity centers throughout the region, not just in the downtown, but out along the radial corridors into the outer suburban jurisdictions. And if we can get mixed-use development in those centers, we can serve our growth efficiently, reduce the dependence on the automobile, have more walking and biking, as well as transit use. And I think particularly important for Metro, providing a market for reverse commuting, so people can live closer in, commute to jobs along taking those empty seats we're running out to job centers in the suburban areas, as long as we can get them close enough to the stations so people can walk once they get off the train. And I know that market is growing. I see it every day when I get on the train at King Street in Alexandria. But there's a lot of potential there, and I think in working together to strengthen this land use and transit linkage, we can have some really great mutual benefits. And I think Metro 2025 is really critical to that. The issue of crowding and the core capacity is really the first priority, and I'm particularly pleased to see that emphasized in Metro 2025, this short-term goal. I might mention that the Council of Governments yesterday, we have members not just of the Metro Compact jurisdictions, but also a group of outer jurisdictions who would like to be a part of Metro and get Metro service, places like Prince William County, Loudoun soon to get service, Frederick and Charles County. And inevitably, there were some questions to Chairman Hines about, well, you know, when are we going to get some lines out into these jurisdictions? And I was really waiting with bated breath to see how she was going to answer that question. And she said, well, first things first, we have to be able to serve the core capacity before we can think about adding new lines. And so that essentially was an adequate response and was no follow-up, except for approving the resolution. So that was, I think, a very useful point to be made, and obviously very supportive of the priorities in this Metro 2025 effort. I want to just conclude with a sort of link back to what we are doing at the Transportation Planning Board. In addition to our priorities plan, we have a four-year update of the region's financially constrained long-range plan coming up next year in 2014. And in every update we've done since the year 2000, we have had a constraint on transit ridership in that plan due to a lack of funding to accommodate growth on the transit system, both repair and maintenance and new capacity. The exact same priorities that are addressed in your 2025 plan have been constraining our transit forecasts and our ability to make those commitments in the long-range plan. And I would note in the resolution yesterday the COG Board of Directors adopted, there was a statement to the effect that they recognized that specific funding commitments required to implement momentum will need to be secured from Metro's regional and federal funding partners. They're not there yet. And I would hope that we can continue our collaboration, particularly over the next year, to make sure when we adopt this 2014 plan update next year, there will be no more transit ridership constraint, and the funding will be in there to support these priorities.
That's great to hear, Ron. And now I'd like to introduce Stuart Schwartz, who is the founder and longtime executive director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth.
Thank you, Mr. Stiles. Thank you, Chair Hines and members of the board. The Coalition for the Smarter Growth has been around for 16 years now. We are the leading organization in the region dedicated to making the case for smart growth. Our mission is to promote walkable, inclusive, and transit-oriented communities, and the land use and transportation policies and investments needed to make those communities flourish. Having helped win remarkably strong regional consensus for transit-oriented development as the framework for regional growth, reflected in the Region Forward and Economy Forward vision plans of the Council of Governments and the priorities of local leaders, certainly as you heard here from Council Chair Harrison, that the Coalition for Smarter Growth now views the investment in the next generation of transit as our top priority and hopefully the region's top priority, essential to support this transit-oriented vision for the region. We view the Momentum Plan as the vision and framework for setting regional transit investment priorities and for working with all of our jurisdictions to create an expanded, well-maintained, and seamlessly integrated transit system that our region needs to remain healthy, prosperous, efficient, and competitive. We're fully committed to achieving the next generation transit as reflected in our report earlier this year. Key components of that report really share the goals of Momentum to really rehabilitate and improve our metro rail system as a top investment that we have to make. Second, ensuring high-capacity public transportation networks support a sustainable region of livable, walkable centers and neighborhoods. Third, expanding and improving our bus system by adding more service and providing bus priority on roadways, critical to meeting growing ridership demand and using those roads more efficiently. Seamlessly integrating, physically and operationally, Metrorail, new priority corridor networks, bus rapid transit, light rail and streetcars, commuter rail, and our bicycle pedestrian infrastructure. We believe the Momentum Strategic Plan effectively makes the case for the value of the metro system to our region and of reinvesting and strategically expanding the system. We also believe that WMATA, through an extensive consultation process with COG and the jurisdiction, is the best entity for leading the strategic planning for our region's next generation of transit. We think that leadership comes through Momentum and can, through this, can we can integrate the, with the planning for these other local systems, selecting in each case the best mode for the type of land use, for the best fit to the type of land use we're trying to achieve and service we're trying to achieve. You know, the Momentum strategic plan makes a great case in terms of the value of Metro to date and the value of these Momentum investments in the future. One of the things that stood out more clearly than any other was the value in the 2025 plan of the 8-car trains, which would provide 35% more capacity, basically 35,000 more passengers per hour to jobs downtown. To achieve this with roads, the report says, and I ran my own numbers on it, basically 16 to 18 new lanes of highways. For comparison, I was looking at the Virginia 6-year plan, and the just completed I-95 widening project for just 2.5 miles cost $261 million, basically $50 million a mile for highway expansion. So these projects on the highway side are really starting to add up. And from a smart growth perspective, we wonder if they really have the land-shaping form that we need for a more efficient region. And we think only Metro and the next generation transit investments combined can give us that land-shaping form that's so critical. As Arlington has shown, as D.C. and other jurisdictions are showing, it's not just the transit and the presence of the transit, it's the fact that the transit creates, allows for these higher density, mixed-use, walkable neighborhoods and bikeable neighborhoods, maximizing not just transit trips, but other non-auto trips. So investing in Metro, we see as the most critical step in supporting these compact, efficient, transit-oriented communities, lowering our per capita infrastructure, saving land, and using land more wisely in our region. So we view Momentum and in integration with all the next generation transit services for our region as our top priority, as our regional priority list, above all others. And we don't think we have any other option. And I'd like to close noting Jim Dinegar's portrayal of some of the great cities of our world. And we didn't even touch on the Chinese cities and their investments. But when you look at London, Paris, and New York, what are they marked by? Very robust, multi-layered transit systems. But certainly around a core subway metro system in each case. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you each and every one of the leaders here from the region who have come to speak in support of Momentum. Truly appreciate you being here today. I just want to mention that we've also received other endorsements from City of Alexandria, thanks to Mayor Yule, Arlington County.
the City of Falls Church, City of Fairfax, Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, which, of course, is rich with current and former members of the Metro Board, business associations, in addition to the ones today, the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Washington Gas, the Bethesda Chevy Chase Chamber of Commerce, and Zipcar. Among the community and advocacy groups we've heard from, in addition to the Coalition for Smarter Growth, is the Washington Area Bicyclists Association. But this is just the beginning. And with the board's help, I expect that we'll be able to announce many more names in the future in support of Momentum. So with that, I'll turn it back to Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Sarles. And on behalf of the board, let me add my thanks to you, too, for coming today and sharing your perspectives with us. It's nice to hear in such a organized and succinct way what we heard from so many people around the region of the importance of transit in their lives, the importance of transit to smooth business operations, and the absolute need to invest, to continue investing in our system and to make sure that we meet the growth needs of this region. So we're really delighted about that. Before I move to our work and allow my invite my colleagues to make a few remarks, I do want to note for those who are listening that the full Momentum report is up on our website. You can find it easily, and that we do invite others in the community, both individuals, businesses, organizations, to join this illustrious group we have at the table as champions of Momentum. We will get to the funding place when we all pull together. It won't be possible without that. And the board is committed to work on that, but we're going to need all of your help, and we appreciate the offers that we received today. So, colleagues, on page 17 of your packet is the resolution before us today. Our action as a committee of the whole is to move this to our board of directors for action, final action 2 weeks from today. And I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution. Oh, many seconds. Moved by Mr. Barnes, many seconds. At this point, I would invite any of you who wish to speak to do so. Ms. Hudgens.
Madam Chairman, I want to first start by thanking you for chairing the 2025. As noted, this has been a long process over the last 2 years, but I think this last point of being able to actually shepherd this effort of the board and to reach out to our stakeholders and garner their support. I say thanks to all of the people that have spoken today. I'm recalling the time that the then Secretary of Transportation signed the full funding grant agreement from one seat from D.C. to the Dulles Airport in building of the Silver Line. But we really know that that happening in any future projects of that nature cannot happen without the full support of building up our core and continuing the role that Metro has played for this region for so many decades. And so this Momentum plan for us sits as the board's guidance of transit planning for the region, working with our partners in order to ensure our economic stability as well as the quality of life. You know, we had lots of conversations here this morning, but I'm always recalling the quality of life in the community as we understand it built around transportation is our jobs and housing. And so, as Stuart has noted, in the ability to create great communities, we need transit and we need a transportation system that has the diversity that we call for in this plan. So I look forward to the work that we have before us in continuing this effort, reaching out to the community. I would note that Fairfax County has this item before it at June 18th, Tuesday's meeting, and I doubt not at all that we will be in the same place, as well as the many businesses and others in that corridor that is changing its footprint as to what it means for quality communities in Fairfax County. Tyson's Corner is only one of the many places that are reaching a change in the manner in which we live, because we know transportation and transit, most importantly, builds the kind of neighborhoods that really people want to be a part of, that businesses really thrive in, and that contributes to the overall community environment that our governments can offer as a result of having that kind of environment. So thanks for the very great effort here.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to join in thanking these leaders, all of you, for coming today and making these very important statements in support of what I think is extremely exciting for our region. I was there with you with Spiro Agnew. I'd forgotten about Spiro Agnew, but I saw people would like to. But I remember Cletus very well being there, and Carlton Sickles and Herb Harris and a lot of folks who helped to make this happen. A friend of mine, who many of you know, Bill Bronrod, who's now a senior official at the Federal Department of Transportation, found an old picture of me that he sent me recently down in the mud in the Bethesda subway station when it was under construction. And so we've some of us have lived through these decades and know how important what's happening today is. The last 2 years we've been working on this. So we first had our first meeting in the summer of 11, almost exactly 2 years ago, to start working on a strategic plan. And I want to salute the WMATA staff who've worked with us on this. I think really done extraordinary work. And the consultants that we had, Neil Peterson and his team, I thought were terrific in helping to bring us to this point. And this is the last statement I'm going to be able to make as a member of this board because this is my last meeting. But I think what we're doing today is the most important thing that's happening, not just for WMATA, but for the Washington region that's going to happen anytime soon. This is the most important thing because, as all of you have indicated, Metro is just crucial to this region. And as some of you have said, and I remember Mary saying it in an earlier meeting, this is not a like-to-have. This is a must-have. The region has to do this. I'd like to see us do even more than what we're talking about here, but we have to do this. And so all of us need to continue to work together and make it happen. And although I have to leave the board, I want to continue in every way I can. Rich, just call on me any way you want, Mr. Chairman. I want to help make this happen for the region. It's too important. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Mr. Bolger.
Yes, thank you, Mary. I just wanted to thank you for leading all of us through this two-year process that has been really amazing. And thank you for all supporting what we've come up with, in particular TPB, Ron. And we look forward to the long-range plan update next year to start down the path of momentum. And Mary, you've done a great job, and we're going to miss you, Michael, and all your leadership on the governance committee. And so I'm pleased that we've gotten this far. And I'll just end. Are we going to a technical question, Mary? Are we going to have an opportunity to change any of the wording today, or is that off the table?
Well, I will say that the committee members have had ample opportunity to review the documents. And you should refrain. This is a done deal.
Done.
All right. Right. No, we like that blue. Mr. Downey and then Mr. Nichols.
Let me also thank all of you for being here to be our conscience and our supporters as we move forward with this plan. It's really important to hear from the region how important it is. I also want to make the point that this is not just a plan for the future. Important as the future is, it's also the plan for the present. If you look at the goals, goal one is a safe system. Goal two is a system that serves its customers. If we can do one and two, then we can get three and four in place because it's the foundation for the future, and it's the creation of some real momentum among our users for saying these are people who can run a system and be trusted to go on in the future. We have to keep our focus on the present, even as we look importantly to the future, and I ask all of you to keep us focused on that as well. And thank you for being here.
Mr. Nichols.
Thank you, Mary. And thank you for being with us also. I thank my colleagues for the opportunity to have been a part of this process. I'm not saying goodbye, Michael, but I wish you well moving forward because you've played an instrumental role in leadership to help us to be where we are right now. I want to take a special point of privilege to welcome and thank my council chair, the distinguished Andrea Harrison, for being here and her leadership and support, not just in Prince George's County, but throughout the region. And I think that for me personally and as a member of the board, I view this as a very sobering moment, and it is one certainly of a milestone of achievement that I think we all need to pause and reflect on. It's sobering because, for me, the in order to take it to the next steps, it will require the continuous investment of all of the stakeholders that sit at the table here today and others who will be coming forward to make that happen, with the biggest reason because we are multiple jurisdictions that serve a single region. And that's the barrier, that's the challenge. And in a sense, the WMATA board is the thing that makes us hold hands and work together and play in the sand. And it's a big challenge for all of us because there will be no momentum if we do not begin the hard work of forcing the partnerships, forcing the collaboration, and forcing the working together that will make it happen. And recognizing that in one sense, every jurisdiction depends upon every other jurisdiction for its vitality. And so it calls upon us to recognize the interests of each of our colleagues as we make decisions which will make the region prosper. And that's going to be a challenge for us because when we face those challenges, it becomes difficult. But that's why we all need to be working here. That's why we need the continuous engagement of those stakeholders, because momentum is not just WMATA's plan. It's the region's plan, and the region owns it, and the region has to take a stake in it to move it forward. And I'm thrilled with the engagement of the business community, of the local governments, and the regional governments, and we're going to have to continue to work hard. The last thing I would say is that when we began this process 2 years ago, and I'm glad that my colleagues have reflected on that, one of the first things we talked about was leadership. And I think for WMATA, it's what does leadership mean? Because we are empowered by the region, but we cannot do anything by ourselves. And one of the conclusions we came to is that one of the aspects of leadership that we have is the power and the knowledge to really bring to focus the movement to get these things done. And we have the obligation and the responsibility to do that, and that is a process that involves each of you, but we're ready to take that on. We've taken that on, but we won't go anywhere without your continuous engagement. So thanks to my colleagues. Thank you for being here, and this is the first step on a very long journey.
Mr. Day?
Yeah, I'll be very brief. Let me thank each and every one of you, because I've had a chance to work with all of you in various capacities over the years, so I really appreciate your taking the time to come down here. I also want to thank Rich for his leadership, because he's been going all over the region talking to groups and motivating people and informing them of what's going on. So the WMATA staff, I think, has done a tremendous job, and I want to thank you publicly for that. I'm also glad to hear the discussion about the regionalism that has to be shown here today, because as one who was born in D.C., raised in Prince George's County, and now live in Virginia, I've got a true appreciation for the region and how we all tie together. And on the point of personal privilege, let me note that Chairman Harrison actually represents the district where I grew up in Prince George's County, so I appreciate your being here. The last thing I want to say is I would like to get with Elliot afterwards and get the address of that place that only charges $60 a month to park in New York.
Because a day.
My experience has been $60 a day. And thank you, Mary, for your leadership. We wouldn't have gotten here without you pulling this all together, and I look forward to casting a vote on behalf of the Commonwealth in support of this resolution.
Mr. Downs?
I'll also be brief. I want to thank each of you for not only supporting us, but spending the time with us. I know you've all got busy schedules, and this is kind of voting with your time, and we appreciate it and we'll be respectful of it. I also want to commend Rich. Nothing about something as complex as this plan fully develops in a timely fashion without the wholehearted support of the CEO and his planning staff, and we couldn't, the board couldn't ask for more than the wholehearted embrace that Rich has had about this process. I want to thank the chair of the Momentum Committee for all of the behind the scenes work that you've put in. How you ever find enough time to do all of this, I'm not sure, but you always do. So thank you. And I also want to thank Mike for his service on the board. I have to say, we'll miss you. And want to wish you Godspeed about your future endeavors. I also want to comment. In a lot of ways, adopting a comprehensive plan is an easier part of the work of this journey than finding the resources and the willpower to fund it. Our next challenge, and I know that we can depend on you, is that in that partnership, is the support for funding the vision that gets us to 2025. And we'll do our best to try and be your partner in that process as the jurisdictions and the states struggle with how to fund this as the years that we're showing at the beginning of this effort start to come into view. So thank you again.
Mr. Giancola.
Yeah, thank you, all our guests, for your endorsements as well as your commitment. Tom, you took my last comment I was going to make very appropriately. This is a plan. You know, this is the start, and the journey has started, and it's going to take a lot of work to get it done. And what I would like to propose is that the board put this on their annual agenda to review and update. In other words, it's not momentum is movement, but it's also a living document. And I think we need to be looking at it periodically and certainly annually at the minimum. So I would encourage that as our follow-on commitment. But it's a great start, and certainly we thank you for your endorsement and commitment to join us on this journey. So thank you. And Mary, thank you. I also served on the committee, but I didn't do much work at all. Mary.
As usual.
Mary.
We can fix that.
How do you do this? How do you do this with having five kids? That I don't get.
Well, they're grown up.
But anyway, yeah, but they never leave. You know that. They're always there. But thank you again for your service. And last but not least, certainly the staff has done a tremendous job in putting this together. And certainly the leadership of Rich Sarles has made a major difference to us and the way we focus on our issues each day. So thank you again.
Mr. Costa.
Thank you, Ms. Hines. And first of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Giancola for his fine work on this effort. anyway, but I'd like to thank our panel and the staff and the rest of my colleagues for finishing off this very important work. This is, of course, the first step in this long journey. But this made me think about the system as a whole. If you actually step back and look at, when the system was developed, speaking of Spiro Agnew, President Johnson said, directed the people at the time who were developing the system to build a system that is worthy of this nation's capital, and that they did. And that I think we've seen how the system has really transformed our city and this region in very remarkable ways, from the way the land use has developed around the stations to the way we get to work. And as a federal employee and representing the federal government, it's really important to our day-to-day operations that we have a functioning and well-operating system, and that we need that today, and we need that in the future. I think this is a great act, too, to that story, that times have changed, and the federal government is no longer in the business of constructing a system like this. And it does take a region getting together and making a commitment to building a system that is even better than the one that we have today. And I think this represents that endeavor. So my congratulations to all. This is, again, the first step in that journey, but I think our predecessors will be very proud of what we've accomplished to date.
Thank you, Mr. Acosta. Is there any other board member who wishes to speak? If not, let me call for the vote then. All those in favor of the motion before us, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Thank you all. So before I close, let me just say I think the comments all around the table have shown that this has to be a collaborative effort moving forward, that we have heavy lifting to do, but we have people, staff people, business and community supporters, and a board that's ready to take that lift and do the work. So we thank you all so very much for your support. Thank you, colleagues, for all the work that you've done to date and all you'll do in the future to continue to build the community support for this effort. It's really going to be critical for our region. And with that, we'll call this first meeting of the committee to a close. The committee isn't going away, so we will have a work plan. Thank you all very much.
So there's still a chance for Tony to